weary, run down. Amen. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to receive strength from God? Well, tonight we're going to talk about how to receive strength by faith. You know, God's strength, God's power, God's ability is waiting for us to use. All right? But we have to receive it by faith. Okay? If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to look at verses 11 and 12. This is about a faithful woman. All the ladies said? Amen. Amen. Through faith also, Sarah herself received what? She received strength. How did she receive strength? Through faith, all right? To conceive seed. She received strength to conceive seed through faith, okay? And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. I want to read this in a couple different translations. The Young Living translation said that Sarah herself received power to conceive seed, and she bare after the time of life, seeing she did judge him faithful who did promise. Okay? So she received power to conceive, and there's a reason why she received power. She did something specifically. She judged him faithful. Okay? The New American Standard Bible says, Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Okay? And then the Darby translation says, Sarah herself received strength for the conception of seed, and that beyond a seasonable age, since she counted him faithful, okay, who promised. So Sarah herself received physical power, okay, to conceive a child. Her faith enabled her to receive power, strength, and ability to conceive. Faith brought into being what was not there. What was Sarah's physical condition? We're going to look at this, but you know, some of you know this story. What was Sarah's physical condition? 90 years old. How many 90-year-olds do you see in the maternity ward? All right? You know, once your body gets to a certain point, all right, you are well beyond producing children, okay, physically. But God gave Abraham and Sarah a promise, all right? And the Bible says she judged him faithful. She considered him faithful. She counted him faithful. You know, when Abraham and Sarah, they were struggling, and you know, God gave them this promise, and it didn't seem like it was going to come to pass. Years went by before they ever had the manifestation of what God said. And finally, Sarah just got to the point where she began to consider the faithfulness of God. She began to consider how faithful God was when they left Haran. She began to consider how faithful God was when they were in Egypt. She began to consider how faithful God was to her and Abraham when they were in Abimelech. And she said, man, God was good then. And God was good then. And God delivered us then. And God was good then. You know what she made up her mind? That if he was good then, he is good now. Why? Because he does not change. God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this faith that Sarah had, the word is pistis, and it means a persuasion. It means a moral conviction of truth or the truthfulness of God. It means reliance upon Christ for salvation. It means constancy in such a profession. It means an assurance, a belief. It means to be convinced by argument. It means to rely upon inwardly and to be certain. It means to agree and to assure. The Bible said that through faith, she is listed in the hall of faith. Sarah was dead in her womb. Abraham was dead in his body. But how many know that we serve the resurrection and the life? God can bring life to a dead situation. He can bring life to a dead relationship. He can bring life to a dead person. He can bring life to a dead dream. Some of you have dreams. And maybe you've let some of your dreams die. You need to consider the faithfulness of God and receive strength to be able to carry and bring forth that dream. Now you got to understand something. Sarah not only had to have strength to get pregnant, she had to have strength to carry the baby, and she had to have strength to nurse the baby. When she's 90. So, what do we know about faith from this passage and Sarah? Faith receives what you need from God. Amen? How are you going to get your needs met? Through faith. Through believing God. You know, faith does not work on works. Faith produces works, but it's not based on works. Right? Faith means you believe God, you trust God, you agree with God, you accept what God said as the it. And anything that contradicts what God said is wrong. Okay? Faith receives what you need from God. What did Sarah need? She needed strength. Her body was past the age of bearing children. So faith receives what you need. She received strength. She needed strength and she received it. Faith receives. You have your receivers on tonight? Make sure that there's not a short circuit in your receivers. Make sure that your receiver is connected to the source. Make sure your receiver is plugged into the source of power. Okay? What else do we know? Faith is a firm persuasion. We know from Romans 4 that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God said, he was also able to do. Now, what does it require a person to become fully persuaded, fully convinced? That you know in your heart and in your mind that it cannot go any other way other than what God said. We know that Sarah didn't start off fully persuaded. Because we're going to see both her and Abraham reacted the same way at what God told them. But it's a firm persuasion. Everybody say firm persuasion. Make sure your faith isn't on shaky ground. See, faith is something that doesn't move. You can't have faith in something that changes. You can't put your faith in the weather, can you? Because sometimes the weather will disappoint you. You know, they always used to say in Tulsa, if you don't like the weather, just wait a minute. I can remember one day, I was in class. It was like in the 70s. And classes were from 8 to 12. And by the time I got out to class, it was 20 degrees. And I didn't have a heavy coat. You know, if you don't like the weather, wait a minute. You can't put faith in your feelings, because feelings change, don't they? If you don't think that feelings change, just play different music and see what it does to you. You know, when you work out, you want something to get you going, right? Faith is a firm persuasion. Sarah got to the point where she was fully persuaded that what God said was going to be. That's how we need to be. Faith considers and looks to God. Who did she consider faithful? She considered him. She looked to him. She looked to God. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He said, look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, he is the author. Authors create, they write, and he's the finisher. Well, who fills in the middle? You and I. Faith begins with God, faith ends with God, but it requires a person to walk in between. Okay? So faith considers and looks to God. Sarah was convinced that what God said was true. God is truth, and what he says is reliable, dependable, and it will come to pass as you believe. Say, God's word is true. Say, God's word cannot fail. Say, God's word is forever settled in heaven. When heaven and earth pass away, what's still going to be here? God's word. So you might as well learn how to trust God's word now, because it's not going anywhere. If God's word can create this world, you know it's trustworthy, because if God could lie, this world would fall apart. We would not exist. So God's word is reliable. Okay, another thing that we learn is faith doesn't look to circumstances. It doesn't look to the flesh. It doesn't look to anything else as its source. Sarah relied on God and his character. And Sarah, I'm sure that after she believed, she professed that she was going to be a mom. Sarah couldn't look to her, she couldn't look to a doctor. She couldn't look to Abraham. I like how she, but through faith, she herself received. You know, faith is personal. Faith works for anyone who works it. Right? How many people touched Jesus and got nothing except for when the woman with the issue of blood came by? Then something happened when she touched him. What made her touch different than all the others? Because the disciples said, Jesus, you see the people touching you. What do you mean who touched you? They were like, what are you talking about? You know, like Gary Coleman. What'd you talk about, Jesus? Faith doesn't look to circumstances. If Sarah would have looked to her circumstances, she would have gone around saying, my body's dead. I can't have children. But she had to look to God. You got to look to God. If God said it, you've got to believe it, and that settles it. You can't look to anything else. You know, if you need a healing in your body, if you believe God, you know, you can't keep looking to your body to see if God's word works. Okay, I want to try this to see if it works. No, it's not something you try. See, the word of God is living. It's a lifestyle. It's how you live. You don't just try it once a week. You don't just try it to see if it works. You got to believe it. You got to walk it out. All right? So another thing we learn is faith stands on God's promises. Sarah was assured and certain of God's promises. Who told her that she was going to have a baby? We're going to look at it here in just a minute. It was God's word. Did they have a Bible? Did Abraham and Sarah have a Bible? No. They had God speaking audibly to them. But what God said is what happened because they believed it. So faith stands on God's promises. And then we know that faith resurrects dead things. How many days was Lazarus dead? 4 days. And Mary and Martha, you know, what was it? Mary said, or Martha said, if you'd have been here, Lord, you know, you could have healed them. And what was Jesus' response? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And actually, he didn't even want to tell his disciples that Lazarus was dead. He told them, Lazarus sleeps. And they said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get up. He said, okay, no, he's dead. How many know that God can come down to our level? He comes down to where we are, and he brings us up. But Jesus walked to that tomb, and he was dead, and he declared, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he stood in front of that tomb, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He'd been dead for 4 days. That doesn't matter. Jesus had faith in God's word, just like you and I need to have faith in God's word. Because faith resurrects dead things. Both Sarah's womb and Abraham's body were changed by faith in God's word. She didn't go through a surgery. You know, she wasn't, you know, she didn't go through this fertilization process. She went through God's word. Faith comes by what? Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. God's word is life. God's word is light. It's light to the entrance of his word gives light. Because when we don't have the word, we're in darkness. We got to have God's word. And the word strength of this passage is the dunamis. Does that sound like a familiar word you know? What happens with dynamite? It's got power to explode. Okay, this word dunamis, it means force, ability, abundance. It means miraculous power. How did Sarah connect to the miraculous power? What was the avenue by which she connected to the miraculous power? Faith. Faith. She rode down Faith Highway. She went on Faith Avenue, and she connected with the miraculous power of God. How are you going to connect with miracles? You're going to do it by faith. When the woman with the issue of blood got healed, how was she healed? What did Jesus say healed her? Her faith healed her. Do you realize that in out of 19 stories of people being healed in the Gospels, 11 of those 19 were by faith? More than half. So faith brought a divine force to Sarah's body. It brought divine ability. It brought abundance. It brought power and strength to make things possible. Faith enabled her to get pregnant. Her faith positively affected her body and brought a change. Everything that Sarah did, she did it through faith. That's what the Bible tells us. How are you going to do it? You're going to do it the same way. How are you going to connect with God's miraculous power? You're going to do it by faith. You're going to do it by believing and trusting in God. You're going to value his word, and you're going to rest on his word no matter what anything else or anybody else says. Okay? Faith brought a divine force to her body that wasn't there. Now, this word judged. Okay, she judged, she considered, she counted. This word means to lead. It means to command with official authority. It means to deem or to consider, to count. It means to esteem. When she considered him faithful, the act of considering God faithful, you start replaying all the victories that God did for you. From the time you got saved to the time that God did this or the time that God did that. When you start replaying those things in your mind, faith is coming to you. And the more faith comes to you, the stronger you are. This is how we all have to live. This is how we all are saved. Was anybody here saved not by faith? You all of a sudden, you just ran into salvation and there it was? Okay? So, in considering him faithful, Sarah supposed, she acknowledged. What happens when you acknowledge God in all things? He will direct your path. She acknowledged God. God, you are the source. God, I trust you. God, you are the only one that can do this for me. Her trust was in God. She recognized, she believed God as faithful. Faithfulness is something that God is. God will be faithful tomorrow. He was faithful today. He was faithful yesterday. He'll be faithful from a year from now. God will never stop being faithful. So that means you could trust him. But you have to be convinced of that. God is not faith empty. God is not faithless. He's faithful. He is the faithful God. He is faithful to 1,000 generations. God was faithful before you were ever around, and God will be faithful when you're not here on this earth anymore. God is faithful from beginning to end. We have a faithful God. You can count on him. You can rely on him. You can trust in him. Why? Because he is faithful. And because he's faithful, we can be faithful. Isn't that one of the fruits? Faithfulness. So faith commands with authority. Sarah esteemed God as the source of power and strength. It was based on what he said. That's all the evidence that Abraham and Sarah had. They didn't have anything else. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Okay? All right. Faith is confident in God's faithfulness. Sarah knew God was reliable all the time. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. We got to look at the places where God spoke specifically about this situation. And let's go to verse 15. Genesis 17 and 15. Do you realize that everyone here tonight is going to leave stronger than what you came in? Because you're hearing God's word about how to receive strength through faith, and you're going to leave stronger than how you came in. Weakness cannot hang out in this place tonight. God is going to convert your weakness into power and strength. He's going to put a woo in your woo. Genesis 17, 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah. Notice, he had to do something with his words. He had to stop calling her Sarah and start calling her something different, Sarah. God added his breath. Abraham, Sarah. What happened when God created man? He breathed the breath of life into them, and what happened? He became a living soul. Do you realize that God added his breath to Abraham and Sarah in their names? Notice this. Okay, do not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. Okay? And notice, I will bless her, and I will give a son also of her. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now, this he's speaking to Abraham, and we're going to see in just a moment how Sarah needed to hear God's word too. Okay? Verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. This was not a laugh of faith. He laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Abraham was shocked, even though God said years ago that he was going to be a father. Okay? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Notice what God said now. You got to be careful not to mix your plan with God's plan. Okay? And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. And you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, this is the graciousness of God, the grace of God. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Abraham prayed. And even though, I want you to notice something. Ishmael was not supposed to be. But because God is great, he will take your mistakes and he will make something good out of them. Only God can take our mess and clean it up. But you got to trust him. Okay? Can we see that that God forgave Abraham, didn't he? You know, God didn't bring up the fact how Ishmael came into being. He didn't. Because as far as God was concerned, he forgave him. Just guess what? God has forgiven you. Amen. He's not holding anything against you. Okay? I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. I want you to notice that Ishmael is only a great nation. But out of Isaac, there's going to be nations. Okay? Let's read on. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. So how many times did he have to tell him that Sarah was going to bear him a son? Okay? Is God trying to get this point across? Faith comes by what? As Abraham is hearing God say this to him, faith is coming to Abraham's heart to believe it. Okay? Aren't you glad that God has to repeat some things sometimes? Aren't you glad that God knows that you may not get it the first time? You know, there's a law of double enunciation. Sometimes you'll read in the Bible, verily, verily. It means truly, truly. When there's a double enunciation, that means it's going to happen for sure. God's just letting you know. Okay? And he left talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. I want you to notice a few things here. Okay? The Lord will come, and behold, Sarah shall have a son. He wanted Abraham to see this. He said, behold, she's going to have a son. You know, Abraham, that put a picture in Abraham's mind. He could see a baby boy being born. Amen? Okay? So faith, we know that faith changes things. Their names were changed. right? Sarah's name and nature was changed. God's word changed her. Change has to occur for God's power to be activated. You notice that as a sinner, God's power is not activated to you. What do you have to become in order to receive God's power? You have to become a saint. Did you know that all of you are saints? Did you know that you don't have to die and wait for someone to name you a saint? The minute you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a saint. Sometimes changes have to occur. You've got to change, and you know what? God initiates the change, and you respond by changing what you believe, what you're doing, where you're going, or how you think. Abraham and Sarah, their names were changed, okay? Because what God wanted to do in them, it couldn't be done in the old, because God does new things. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, what? Become new. Walk in the newness of life. So, if you want your faith to connect with the miraculous, sometimes you need to change some things. Maybe you need to change how you've been talking. Remember he told Abraham, you shall not call her Sarai anymore? Maybe you need to change what you're doing. You know, because when we are doing something wrong, God will always give us opportunities to repent and to change before judgment comes. He'll warn us. He'll say, you better change this. You better stop doing this. You better start doing this. He warns us of the changes that we need to make. And if we want to connect with the miraculous, we're going to have to make those changes. If God wants you to go to a palace, how many know you're going to have to think differently? You can't think and act like a pauper and go to the palace. You know, God gave Joseph a vision, a dream, about his brothers and father bowing down to him. Okay? And that was in his heart. He saw that. He told his brothers. You know, it'd be like Elliot telling his family, hey, you guys are all going to bow down to me. Now, maybe that's not the best audience for that message, because obviously it went over like a lead balloon, right? But, you know, he didn't go to the palace first. He first went to the pit. Then he went to Potiphar's house. Then he went to prison. But you know what? God was testing his character in those places. Because he couldn't be in the palace with an unstable or a shaky character. So God allowed some things to happen in his life to develop his character. But Joseph had impeccable character. Because when the time was right, what happened? He got to the palace. And sometimes God gives you a dream or a vision, and you want it to happen tomorrow. But sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes that's a picture of, that's like a goal, you know? But you're at the beginning of a marathon. How long is a marathon? What is it, 26 miles? I'm not a runner, so I could care less. But he'll give you a goal. He'll give you a picture of where he wants you to be. But that doesn't mean you're going to go there tomorrow. You've got to allow some change to take place in you in order to be able to handle when you get there. Why do you think he has believers renew their minds? Because in our minds, I don't care if you were a good person, but if you didn't know Jesus, your mind is messed up. And you need to renew it. You need to change what you think on. You need to change what you speak. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. this change had to occur in Abraham and Sarah in order for them, in order for God to activate his promise. God blessed her and gave her a son. God blessed her and made her mother of nations and kings. It was the blessing of God that empowered her to conceive. Same blessing that he blessed Adam in. I will bless you and multiply you, cause you to have dominion. I will. When God blesses you, he empowers you. When God blesses you, he enables you. It was the blessing of God. Sarah was blessed. God blessed her. She had faith in his blessing. God prospered them when they initially obeyed God. When he said go, they left. Abraham and Sarah, right? Abraham laughed at God's word to Sarah. You know, God's word is very clear, and it may disagree with your feelings, your emotions, and your senses. It didn't make sense when God said that Sarah was going to have a son. Because, first of all, the physical challenge. Okay? But how many know that if you don't believe, don't quit? Amen? If you start off not believing what God said, hang in there. Young people, hang in there. You may not understand this Christianity thing, but hang in there. Keep doing it, and understanding will come. Besides, God doesn't want any wimps. He doesn't want quitters in his kingdom. He doesn't want people who start off and look at something else and quit. You know, you got to keep your hand to the plow. You don't want to look back. Just ask Lot's wife. Oh, you can't because she's a pillar of salt. God told her to leave Sodom. He said, don't look back. Psst. She suddenly became very salty. God's word is very clear, and it may disagree with your feelings, emotions, and senses. God's word said that Sarah will bear Abraham a son. God told him to call his name Isaac. The question is, whatever God said, are you going to get with the plan? Okay, if God said this, okay, Sarah's going to have a son, and I'm going to call him Isaac. So what do? You start rehearsing that in your heart. You start going over that. Okay? God wanted to establish his everlasting covenant with Isaac and his descendants. And God blessed Ishmael. Let's go to Genesis 18, verse 9. This is when the angels and God appeared to Abraham. And they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. That sounds like it's pretty certain, doesn't it? Do you realize that when God speaks or when God's word goes forth, it's of a certain thing? So you might as well just grab onto it and hold on to it. Amen? You might as well just take ownership of what God said to you. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. See, remember I told you it wasn't enough for Abraham to hear what was happening? Sarah had to hear it too. Husbands and wives, you better pray that God speaks to both of you. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Because God wants you to be in agreement with him, both of you. So God will speak to both of you, amen? And if one doesn't want to listen, if one is stubborn and obstinate, whatever, then the one who does listen will get the benefit. Okay? Now Abraham and Sarah, verse 11, were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She was like, I could see her blushing when she said this. She's like, oh my. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? See, he knows whether or not you believe in your heart. You know, you're supposed to believe in your heart. And sometimes we're this far away from connecting to the miraculous. Sarah laughed within herself, and God said, why did Sarah laugh? You know, God wasn't making a joke. He was making a statement. And then verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me ask you something. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We make things hard, but the Lord does not. You know, when God tells you to do something big, it's so hard. I don't know if I can do it. Yes, you can. He wouldn't have told you to do it if he didn't think you couldn't. That's why he told you. The very fact that he's telling you, he knows you can do it. The very fact that he's telling you, he's giving you strength to do it. But the question is, you got to believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe what God said? Well, if you believe it, start acting like it. Start talking like it. Okay? At the time appointed, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. How many times did God say this? Hello? I can see God. Hello? Are you getting it? I want you to notice something. The only thing God has to do is speak. He doesn't have to do anything else to prove that his word is true. Now, some people, when God tells them something, they want to be led by open or closed doors. God says, do this. And they'll say, okay, God, if you open this door, I'll do it. But if you close the door, I won't. We're not to be led by closed doors. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit. There was only one time where God allowed a person to put out a fleece, but that was one time. How many know you don't make a doctrine out of something that occurred once? Never again did anybody put out fleeces other than Gideon. And God allowed it because he's gracious. He came to where Gideon was. But that doesn't mean, you know, just because he allowed Gideon to put out fleeces doesn't mean that we should establish a doctrine and say, okay, this is the doctrine of fleeceology. God doesn't have to do anything to prove his word true. All he has to do is speak. Because you ought to know that God is not lying. God is not a liar. God is not a thief. God is not a deceiver. You know, God doesn't tell you things as a joke. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Moral of the story, be honest. When God speaks, be honest. He knows what you're thinking anyway. You're not going to pull the wool over God's eyes. Okay, what do we learn from this? Okay, the Lord was going to come, and Sarah was going to have a son. How many know that you need God's presence in your life? If you want the promises to come to pass, you need his presence. Isn't it awesome how the Lord was going to come to her? He was personally going to give her strength. Did anybody order strength? Here is your platter of strength. I have made it especially for you. It tastes good. And believe me, it does the body good. I can see the Lord serving Sarah strength. When she began to consider him faithful, God began to move on her behalf. Isn't it funny how strength wasn't there until she began to consider him faithful? Did you know that strength was just waiting to come to her? But by what she considered, it brought it to her. Maybe God is just waiting to do something awesome for you, but he's waiting for what you consider or what you count or what you judge. Just food for thought. Okay? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Okay, I'm going to ask you that question, and I want you to give me the right answer, okay? This is a test. I've already given you the answer, so everybody should get 100%. Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
If you need money, is it too hard for the Lord to give you money?
No.
If you need healing, is it too hard for the Lord to give you healing?
No.
If you need deliverance, is it too hard for the Lord to deliver you? If you're surrounded by enemies, is it too hard for the Lord to defeat your enemies?
No.
If you're lost, is it too hard for you to be found?
No.
If you're depressed, is it too hard for you to be joyful?
No.
Amen. You guys get 100%. That was a pop quiz that you all passed with flying colors. Good job. Okay? God's seed took root in Sarah's heart, and it became a reality. Now, her and Abraham still had to get together. She wasn't immaculately conceived. Do you realize that a 100-year-old man and his 90-year-old wife had to go out on a date, you know? Both Abraham and Sarah had to hear God's word for them. Both had to agree with it. Aren't you glad that God took the time to speak to both of them? He spoke to Abraham in 17 and he spoke to Sarah in 18. She got to hear what God said. And she reacted the same way. Abraham and Sarah laughed so much that they named their son Laughter. By the way, that's why Gabriel's middle name is Isaac, because I was known for my laughter. Still am. So we named him Isaac in honor of laughing. All right? Okay. And don't turn there, but in Genesis 21, the promise came to pass. Isaac was born. Okay? He said and did for her exactly as he spoke it. So what God said occurred in Sarah's life because she believed it. No other reason. Okay? It was exactly like God said. And on the eighth day, Abraham circumcised Isaac because that was part of the covenant instructions that God gave him. Turns out that on the eighth day is the best day to circumcise a child because that's the most sanitary day. I asked my doctor when both of our boys were born. All right. Now, let me just go over quickly how to receive strength. Because God wants to give you strength. All right? Exodus 15:2. Just write that verse down. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my song." So you're going to have to know the Lord because he is the source of your strength, right? So if you know the Lord, you can get strength. "And he has become my salvation. He is my God." Exodus 15:13 says that you have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. You get strength from spending time in God's presence, his holy habitation. All right? 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 through 4. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I trust." If you want to get God's strength, you're going to have to trust. You got to trust God. If you're trusting God, then your words are in agreement with his. You're not trusting God when your words don't agree with his words. You're putting your trust in something else. And 1 Chronicles 16, verses 10 through 12. Glory in his holy name. Let the hands of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. If you want strength, you've got to seek the Lord. You've got to go after it. Think about it. Speak about it. Read about it. You've got to go after it. If you want strength, you can't just sit there and go like this. Like a little baby bird in the nest. No. You've got to seek it. You've got to trust him. You've got to go after it. Can you say amen? If you want strength, you've got to worship the Lord. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. Yeah, his word is firmly established. If you want strength, you cannot fear. Because if the Lord is your strength, what is there to fear? If God is for you, tell me who's against you. And if they were against you, it doesn't matter because you win. Because with God, you're a majority. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. Seems to me like if you're 1 against 1,000 or 10,000, you're in the minority, but with God, you're a majority. They shall not come near me, word says. If you want strength, Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31, you got to wait on the Lord. Strength is not necessarily delivered through a fast food restaurant. You can't just drive by the church and get I'll take some strength to go, Lord. No, sometimes you got to wait on God. You got to invest some time with God. Besides, God wants you to know the strengthener, not just the strength. Mm-hmm. Because if you know the strengthener, then you get the strength. If you know the healer, you get the healing. If you know the Savior, you get the salvation. If you know the deliverer, you get deliverance. It's a total package, but you got to get him. Too many people are just out for what they can get from God, not even to know him. There's a lot of people that don't want to know him more. There's a lot of people that could invest a lot more time in knowing God, but they don't. Because they simply don't want to know him more. And that's why they're not as strong as they could be. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you want strength, you got to talk strong. You got to say acceptable words to God. One thing that can short-circuit your faith is bad words. There's so many ways to receive strength. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. You got to know that God will give you strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Lord is the strength of your life. If you want to be strong, you got to resist temptation to sin. Amen? Joseph resisted temptation, didn't he? So you got to resist temptation. So are you getting stronger? You better be, because strength is coming to you. And see, God doesn't have, you know, what did Jesus say about the people that when he told them who he was, they said, what are you going to do for us? Why don't you do a sign, didn't they? An evil and wicked generation, he said, seeks for a sign. What makes people think that God has to prove who he is by doing things? We have to have more trust in his word than that. Amen. Well, amen. Well, I'm done for tonight. This Sunday, we're going to talk about how to work out your own salvation. So if you want, join us on Sunday. Amen. Why don't you stand up? And if you came in here weak, weary, wore down, tired, I want you to come up front to get revved up, to get powered up. Amen? To get energized.